Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2008.
A reading from the Book of Wisdom. There is no God besides you who have the care of all, that you need show you have not unjustly condemned. For your might is the source of justice. Your mastery over all things makes you lenient to all. For you show your might when the perfection of your power is disbelieved, and in those who you know you rebuke temerity. But though you are master of might, you judge with clemency, and with much lenience you govern us. For power, whenever you will, attends you. And you taught your people by these deeds that those who are just must be kind. And you gave your children good ground for hope, that you would permit repentance for their sins. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord, you are good and forgiving.
Lord, you are good and forgiving.
You, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in kindness to all who call upon you. Hearken, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the sound of my pleading.
Lord, you are good and forgiving.
All the nations you have made shall come and worship you, O Lord, and glorify your name. For you are great, and you do wondrous deeds. You alone are God.
Lord, you are good and forgiving.
You, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in kindness and fidelity. Turn toward me and have pity on me. Give your strength to your servant.
Lord, you are good and forgiving. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, the Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes with inexpressible groanings. And the one who searches hearts knows what is the intention of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the holy ones according to God's will. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowd, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the household came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' His slaves said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' He replied, 'No, if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. Then, at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them into bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He proposed another parable to them. 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It's the smallest of all seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches.' He spoke to them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened.' All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables, and I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world.' Then, dismissing the crowds, he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He said in reply, 'He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with the fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace. There they will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello, and thank you for joining us this week. I'm Brian, and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everybody.
And we're going to discuss these parables about the kingdom of God. And Dawn, I know that we talked about parables a little bit last week, and this is going to be a common theme for a couple weeks on the podcast, so hopefully we don't bore our listeners to death. But I think it does. The parables are great because they do give us a bunch of different ways to think about the kingdom of God. A lot of times, the ones we've got here today, we've got a few different ones. Two of them seem to be kind of similar. The last two words talking about something small turning into something big. You either have the mustard seed turning into a full bush, or you have the leaven and only three measures of flour, and it leavens the whole bread, and the yeast, you know, mm-hmm. It's three measures of yeast, not flour. But the idea of something small turning into something bigger. And of course, this was what Jesus hoped would happen with his own mission, is that it was small originally, was him and his 12 disciples, and turning that into something much bigger. We have a church today that they estimate it being about 1 billion people, wow, plus all the people who've come before us. So in some sense, we can see how the kingdom of heaven better be pretty big if it's going to fit all of us in it. So, and yet it started with something very small.
Pretty good. Well, I was just thinking about, I know we talked about it last week, but maybe for those who didn't listen last week, how dare you? But just the thought that about parables, that you never really can exhaust the meaning of it. And they're sort of, that was the intent of it. So whatever we propose here today is one interpretation, but not to just only take our interpretation of it, but think a little bit more about it for yourself.
That's right. Although our interpretation is, of course, the authoritative interpretation.
Oh, right.
We're only joking there. One of the things that I liked with the, going back to kind of what I was talking about, is I think it can remind us a lot of times in our own work, we can kind of realize how small we are, or sometimes we sit here and say, are we making any kind of impact at all? But realizing that this whole church started with something small that turned real big. Then, of course, it also reminds me of the VeggieTales song.
Which one would that be?
He's big, but God's bigger than you are.
Actually, that was when I went to Mississippi last week, right on the Gulf, there was a sign that said, Katrina was big, but God is bigger. And I thought, you know, you have to have a lot of faith in order to see that. And when you see the complete devastation that occurred, and this was sitting on a plot of what used to be a church, but the entire church building was just washed away, and all you could see were the stairs that led up to where the altar used to be. And so to be able to say that and believe it, that takes a lot.
It does, and it does take a lot of faith for us to believe that, because a lot of times, you know, we've said it over and over on the podcast, we don't always see the fruit of our labor. Sometimes it's just us feeling like there's nothing more, or that were ineffective. But ultimately, we do have to believe that the small mustard seed that we've planted, and we talk about this a lot in ministry, and I'm sure you've heard the expression, Dawn, that what we're doing is planting seeds and things like that.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And you, probably in your line of work, you hear it all the time, because that's you're dealing with the youth all the time and hoping to see things come to fruition. And sometimes you do, sometimes you might not get to see all of your work come to fruition. I mean, if you think about it, the apostles didn't get to see the church as it is today their lifetime, or probably didn't seem all that big even when they died. It was probably just a few small cities in, you know, what is, you know, Turkey and parts of Europe today and things like that. Probably one of the things we should mention too is that sometimes when you go to Mass, you might not hear the same length of a gospel as you just heard from us. There's a shorter version sometimes and a longer version. We tend to always read the longer version on the podcast, and some places might read the shorter version, especially if you're in a church that's really hot and not air conditioned or something like that. But the shorter version, if you only hear that, you won't hear those last two parables. So we should probably say something about the first parable so that people don't feel completely left out at Mass this week, which is, of course, the parable of the wheat and the tares, as they call it, with the wheat growing up in the fields. I don't know if anything struck you about that, Dawn.
It sort of is connected with what you were just talking about before, about planting seeds and things like that. In youth ministry, one of the things I have come to know and to observe, it's more than planting seeds. You plant the seeds, and then you have to tend the soil. And that's what I sort of see my job is. But I think we're all like that. We have to tend the soil of our own lives and see what is growing and things like that. But we also have to remember we're a community and we're called to be there for each other. And so if you notice something that's going on, you know, be there for other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things that I find from this parable of the wheat and the tares is it strikes me every time that none of the separation is done until the harvest.
Right.
And to me, that kind of speaks to the way that God does this at the last minute. He gives kind of the weeds every chance to become wheat,
right,
or something like that. And a lot of times we'd like to have judgment, especially on our enemies, come sooner than later. But ultimately, we have to trust that, you know, people can change, and it's never kind of a too late to change kind of thing. But also, I think that it is important for us to remember that there is a reason, too, that God does wait till the end. Part of it, he says, too, a lot of times we can ask the question, you know, why does God allow evil in the world or things like that? But he does say there's the danger if you pull out the weeds, even if he does know it's a weed and can tell it's a weed from day one or something like that, you still risk killing some of the wheat along with taking the weeds out. So he says, no, we'll let them grow together till the end. Now, it might not be the most efficient gardening advice. I'm not sure on that. I don't have a green thumb, so I'm not advising that for gardens. But I do think it's important to understand that there's a reason that the weeds do grow with the wheat in this parable. And for me, it does always speak of, a lot of times I sit here and say, is this person ever going to come around? Or sometimes even with my own sinfulness, am I ever going to overcome, you know, whatever sin it is that I'm struggling with at any point in time? And just kind of trusting that in the end, you know, hopefully if nothing else, God will tear it out. But I can still work on it. But at the same time, I can't obsess over the wheat and the weed, and to the point where I'm going to uproot this at the cost of, you know, whatever wheat might be growing around it.
I think with at least two of these parables, it talks about that. But I guess I was thinking about what you were saying before about how we just want to yank all the bad stuff out around us. And that's not the way. We're not, it sort of goes back to also what I was saying about living in community. It's tempting to think to go and just all Christians gather together and live in a house all by themselves. But when we are out there, we are together. And so like we can be like the leaven in the flour or the wheat among and influencing other people.
That's interesting. I didn't think about that, but you're right. He doesn't isolate either. It's all mixed up there. And in all of these, it's the, you know, the yeast gets mixed with the flour to become the leavened bread. But there's always a mixing involved. And I've never thought of that, but maybe that'll be something I can add into my homily or something this week.
Well, I'll be famous.
As I preach, yes. Well, you've been famous. I've mentioned you in my first homily that I gave, too.
That's right.
So, but yeah, that's another angle that I hadn't thought. And it also kind of goes to the point where we mentioned about the parables, that they are meant to kind of tease our mind a little bit. And you know, we've mentioned that's kind of what we do with the podcast. It's also hopefully what a homily does. You know, when I preach a homily, a lot of times I hear people come to me and say, oh, you know, it's a wonderful homily. But I also hope that people go home and think about it and tease it out a little bit. And how does this play out in my own life, rather than just come up to me afterward and say, oh, that was wonderful, I enjoyed listening to you speak, as if it were some form of entertainment or something.
Could you do a little dance next time?
That's right. Right, get a whole band up there or something like that. But it is, I think it's important to not only, you know, enjoy, I guess you should enjoy the homily on some level, but it should be something that hopefully people tease out in their own life. You know, how does this affect me now today in my everyday life, as opposed to, well, that was nice what, you know, Deacon Brian said over at Mass today, and let's go home and back to normal or something like that. Back to the status quo. That's right. Anyway, Dawn, we're coming to the end of our time on the podcast, and we'll be back next week, though, to talk more about parables, which hopefully, like I said, we won't exhaust the topic. And we hope that you'll be back to join us next week, too, on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.